I had a privilege yesterday, I mean Friday, last Friday, to be in a situation where I visited the maintenance department of our hospital, and it was a time where the day shift and the night shift would be changing the guards, so to speak. And somebody asked me at the time, Chaplain, could you explain about the Trinity? Why do we believe in the Trinity and what have you? So we had a chance to, the Lord has created a chance for me to explain to them about why do we believe in the Trinity and what have you in our belief system, and draw the attention to the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And it was a time where more of the maintenance guys came in, and including the night shift, that the Spirit of the Lord just took over. And I was so surprised that, you know, I, of course, as I was trying to talk to them in what the Lord has done, tetelestai, it's paid in full, that Jesus Christ, his blood cleanses us from all our sins every day, every time, like a wave of God's mercy and grace coming towards us every time. They call that katarizo in Greek. These people just got captivated by the Holy Ghost. And you know what, brothers and sisters? All of them accepted the Lord as their Lord and Savior. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. And somebody said, you know what, Chaplain, when are we having our Bible study again? And I said, we're gonna create that time so that we could visit the Lord's work in our lives. It's covenant, brothers and sisters. It is the covenant, the establishment of the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of man. And we had been ushered into by the Holy Ghost in many topics over here in our church. And now, just like what Pastor D has mentioned, we have this series on the last days and how important it is for each and every one of us to cling on more to the Lord. Because no one would be exempt in being attacked by the enemy. You would not be exempt. I would not be exempt. And it's always hard to have to deal with certain things in your personal life, in your family life. But we always go back to covenant. Covenant will give us our and bring us to that spiritual equilibrium that we know, especially that we are bombarded with, especially as we know that we have entered the last days. Our text would be in 2 Corinthians 3, 1 to 18. And actually, I would like to go into some definitions of covenant over here. Based on the Old Testament, we have the meaning, it's the preferred meaning of this Old Testament word is bond. Refers to two or more parties bound together. So that's the Old Testament context of covenant. Word ideas describing covenant would be come together to make a contract, agreeing on promises, stipulations, privileges, responsibilities. That's other ideas describing covenant. In the New Testament, word for covenant, it takes the word testimony or testament. This Greek word basically means to order or to dispose of oneself or another. The thought of the inequality of the parties is latent. So, because it's latent, one could be stronger than the other party, but still the covenant is being established. It doesn't mean that the other one is stronger than the other. A covenant could not be established. Hint, hint. God is stronger. We are not. Amen? There are different covenants in the Bible. There are seven specific covenants that are revealed in Scripture. These seven covenants fall into three categories. The category number one is conditional. Covenants are based on certain obligations and prerequisites. If the requirements are not fulfilled, the covenant is broken. The conditional covenant mentioned in Scripture is the Mosaic covenant. The blessing's extends are contingent upon Israel's adherence to the law. Now, there's an asterisk over there in the Mosaic covenant because we will tie up this covenant with the new covenant eventually that we will be talking about. The other category would be unconditional covenant. Covenants are made with no strings attached and will be kept regardless of one's party's fidelity or infidelity. The unconditional covenants mentioned in the Bible are the Abrahamic, Palestinian, and Davidic covenants, God's promises to fulfill this regardless of other factors. By the way, when you talk about Abraham, Abraham was what? A liar? He is scared, he is fearful, and what have you. But the Lord prospered him continually. David killed Uriah, and out of Uriah came King Solomon. So it was not performance-based because it's unconditional. Then the third one is general covenant. Covenants are not specific to one people group and can involve a wide range of people. The general covenants mentioned are the Adamic, Noahic, and the New Covenant, which are global in scope. We are blessed because eventually the promises that the Lord had in the general covenants that he had with mankind, we benefited from that. Amen? What a good blessing that God Almighty included us in the picture. So reviewing the seven specific biblical covenants, we have the Adamic covenant. We have seven here. And I will not be reading all of them, meaning. So Adamic covenant goes into general in nature. The Noahic covenant also is a general covenant. The third one will be the Abrahamic covenant, which is an unconditional covenant given to Abraham. And a little picture of that. God promised to make his name great and to make his progeny into a great nation. The covenant also promised blessing to those who bless Abraham and cursing to those who cursed him. Further, God vowed to bless the entire world through Abraham's seed. So there's like an intertwined of the unconditional covenant going towards the general covenant, which we'll be talking about further later on. Now, the Palestinian covenant is this. It's actually happening. In Deuteronomy 31-10, it says that God noted God's promise to scatter Israel if they disobeyed God. And it happened, right? They were scattered all over the place. Then to restore them at the later time to their land. We are living witnesses that this is actually happening this time. The Palestinian covenant. When I saw that, whoa, I was surprised. Then we have the Mosaic covenant. This unconditional covenant found in Deuteronomy 11 and elsewhere promised the Israelites a blessing for obedience and a curse for disobedience. And brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people that are locked up in this Mosaic covenant. That they are still bringing, and even in Christendom, they're bringing this kind of thinking in Christianity, the Mosaic covenant. Yes, it's not the law, but they create more laws and substitute the other laws. So we need to be very watchful of that, because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay? So the law has a purpose for it later on. We'll talk about that as well. Then, number six, we have the Davidic covenant. This unconditional covenant found in 2 Samuel 7, 8-16 promised to bless David's family line and assured an everlasting kingdom. Jesus is from the family line of David, and as the son of David, is fulfilled in this covenant. Then the last of the seven is the new covenant. This general covenant found in Jeremiah 31-34 promised that God would forgive sin and have a close, unbroken relationship with his people. Amen. John 1:12, yet to those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, gave he the right to become children of God. This therefore applies to us, the new covenant. The promise was first made to Israel and then extended to everyone who comes to Jesus Christ by faith. And that counts us in. Note, While not all Bible scholars agree on every detail regarding these biblical covenants, it is clear that God has made certain promises. Some of His promises are to all people, and some are limited to Israel. All of God's promises are based on who He is and His plan for the world. So we need to say, since we are in the world, we are part of God's plan. John 3:16, yet it says there, "For God so loved the world." And so this applies to us as well. The main points that we would like to drive this morning is the necessity of covenant. Why is it necessary for us to be in covenant? And the second one would be the appreciation of the new covenant through Christ our Lord. There is a scripture there in John 1:17 that says, "The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have here the Mosaic covenant and the grace and truth covenant through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, in the necessity of covenant, we have, why is a covenant necessary for each and every one of us? Romans 5:17 to 18, the effect of the one man. And we could confer about this in our lives as well. In this scripture, we could find, "For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who have received God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" So I hope you could see the two things there that has happened. By the one man, death reigned through that one man. And we know that is Adam. And there's a second Adam that actually gave us this opportunity to be in covenant with Him. And it started off, "How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace?" And we have received God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. By the way, it is not your righteousness. It is not my righteousness. It is a gift righteousness. And this gift righteousness comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Consequently, just as the result of the trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of the one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. So we could see that dichotomy there. Isaiah 59:2, "For your iniquities have separated you from your God, your sin has hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." So this is the tragedy that we are all in that brings us to that place of necessity. Yes, Lord, who could save me from this body of sin? Romans 3:23, of course, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Again, this draws us again to that fact that it is necessary for us to be saved. In verse number 9 of the same chapter of Romans 3, it says, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. What a tragedy for each and every one of us. So, with that, the Lord, through His love and mercy, has brought us into a place of covenant with Him. So, in the second part of this, is that we need to have some kind of appreciation of the new covenant where the Lord has brought us into. And so we have 2 Corinthians 3:1-18, which speaks about the greater or increasing glory of this new covenant. Now, there is an effect that the Lord has allowed us to enjoy inside this new covenant. It says here, the new covenant changes the heart. And the scripture begins to say, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stones, but on tablets of human hearts." So the law only reveals sin. That's the purpose of sin. That's the purpose of the law. To reveal that, hey, I am really broken. I need a Savior. The law cannot and never can renew the inner person. Never. And in Galatians 2:16, he says, "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith and not by the law, because by observing the law, no one could be justified." No one. And there's a lot of people that are stuck up with this. They're trying to perform. It's a performance-based thing. So the law cannot and never will ruin the inner person. The Spirit wants to write a new version of His Word in our hearts. Now, if you go back to the law, it says there, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Okay? But it doesn't expand to that. Only the Spirit of the Lord expands that. The Spirit of the Lord would tell you, okay, your wife is doing the dishes, washing the dishes. Then the Spirit of the Lord would tap on your shoulder and would be instructing you and say, "You know what, pass by your wife, you know, hug her and say, I love you, Inday, and then walk your way." The Spirit of the Lord gives you detail how to do these things. Okay? It's because it's a new and living way. The other effect of the new covenant, it gives life. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. John 6:63 says there that the Spirit, that flesh counts for nothing, but the Spirit gives life. Life is being drawn from the Spirit, not from the flesh. And the flesh tries to justify itself. The law kills. The new covenant gives life and sustains that life. The new covenant allows us to have a living relationship with God. Praise the Lord. And that's where we are. Amen? The third thing here is the new covenant gets more and more glorious. This is the thing there too. It doesn't stop. When you are inside this covenant, it grows glorious and more glorious and more glorious. Unless a person would be saying, "Let me go back again to the old covenant, the new Mosaic covenant, where you need to perform for me and I need to perform for you, and all of that will just burn us all up." So the new covenant gets more and more glorious if we stay with it. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. Remember the glory that Moses had when he came down from the mountain? He was so glorious that the people were so scared, they put a veil on his face because they were intimidated by the glory. But that glory faded and faded and faded and faded. But now, our glory in this new covenant gets more and more glorious as we draw close to the Lord and as He works His glory upon us. The new covenant gets, it says here, continuing, "And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory that will last? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away, but their minds were made dull. For this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the new covenant, the veil is taken away." And now our orientation is, we are so oriented with the Mosaic covenant, all of us, actually, because even our world caters to that. If you work hard, you prove yourself in your workplace, you're going to be increased in your salary and what. We're oriented with these things. You go to school, do your best, you know. As you perform, you get good grades. You know, this orientation bombards us every day. And so to bring us to that orientation of the new covenant is a challenge. Okay? So that's why there's a lot of things going on even in marriages. You know, divorce happens, even in business associations, even though you're dealing with Christian friends in business and be in covenant with them and it destroys itself. Sometimes it destruct itself. But the new covenant goes from glory to glory. It's different because it's spirit. Fourth, the new covenant brings true freedom. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into the likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What hope we have in this new covenant. Amen? What hope we have. It is the Spirit working in and through us. And the challenge is listening to the Spirit within us. It's hard. You know, you could be in one place in your household in the spirit and somebody else would be in a different spirit and it becomes a challenge. But the promise is it brings us liberty. The law brings bondage and the glory of the new covenant sets us free and we become more like Him. We are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. We could only see these bits at times, you know, because we have this mixture. We could see this, wow, how kind you are, how compassionate you are, how glory, the glory of the Lord just oozing out in your spirit. What a blessing you become to those people that sees you. Now, this covenant is so free. No one could work in and through it. It's a free, it's a free gift for us. The greater one, remember, than the lesser one, and we are the lesser one. It's not about us, it's all about Him. Luke 23 captures a story over here. There was a written notice above Jesus, which reads, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence." Isn't that a revelation? This other thief had a deeper revelation than the other thief that is throwing this insult. And because of this revelation, he said, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." Yes, they are under law because they have cheated somebody, killed somebody, or whatever they have done that caused them to be in that cross. And we could be also in the same cross with these people. And he says here, "But this man has done nothing wrong. He is clean. He is pure. He doesn't deserve this. He is in God being the same sentence with us." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus made a covenant with him. With his blood oozing out of his body, he said, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." This man that had this revelation didn't have come down of the tree and prove himself to Jesus. It was just that acknowledgement that I am justly punished, that you are sentenced together with me, and that I ask you in your mercy to remember me when you get into your kingdom. Under the new covenant, Jesus sealed with his own blood, everyone who believes is offered salvation by grace through faith. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. No other name. And so it's such a blessing that the Lord has drawn us in this general covenant, which is the new covenant, to be in his presence. Going back, John 1:17, "For the law, which is conditional, was given through Moses, grace and truth. The new covenant came through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now Moses is a servant. Jesus Christ is a son. Which is greater, the son or the servant? The son is greater than the servant. So Jesus Christ came through through the new covenant, overshadowing, overpowering the old covenant. So, we find ourselves in two covenants, actually, brothers and sisters. Two covenant mountains. In Hebrews 12, 18, 21, we could find the mountain here that says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or such a voice speaking words that those who heard it beg that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. That's Mount Sinai. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. By the way, I'm not crying. I have an itchy throat. This is the first mountain, Mount Sinai. And brothers and sisters, we already have moved from one mountain, the old covenant, to a new mountain. A new mountain. Reading further, says there in verse number 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come thousands upon thousands of angels with joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous and perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape, they refuse him who warned them on earth, which is the servant. How much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven, the Son? If the servant of God Moses has warned us, and it was so tragic in that mountain, Mount Sinai, how much more if the Son who came from heaven is warning us about these things? So we have enrolled ourselves in a new covenant, brothers and sisters. We are in covenant with Him. Actually, in Exodus 19, verse 12, it captures a picture here. It says in Exodus 19, 12, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Animals and everything else that would touch the mountain, they have to spear it, kill it, stone it. It was a dreadful, dreadful place, brothers and sisters. But in the new covenant, Matthew 11, 28, 29, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In the old covenant, you're going to die. We're going to die. Don't let them touch the mountain. Let them not come near me, lest they die. But in the new covenant, come to me, all of you who are weary. What a difference. What a blessing for each and every one of us, right? Some people in other religions, they have to perform. They're dreadful. Muhammad was dying, he was telling his people, pray to Allah that Allah would receive me. He was not sure that Allah would receive him because it's performance-based. But for us, what a great joy to be in that mountain that says, you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect. We have been made perfect because of Jesus and his blood. Sud suo pueo. You have been made alive together with him. You have been made alive together with him. Hebrews 9:12. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining redemption. It's because of Him, His covenant, new covenant towards us, that we could survive these last days. There is a story that I have listened to, a testimony about Claudia Rodriguez. Claudia Rodriguez had a 5-year-old boy named Daniel. And Claudia was in a very bad car wreck. She was placed in the ICU, and the doctors are saying to her husband, prepare for things for your wife, referring to funeral arrangements. Claudia probably has just a couple of days to go, and you need to prepare. So the husband is a pastor, and the husband went into Claudia's bed and told her, Claudia, if there's anything that you need to prepare, you need to prepare yourself. The doctor informed me, blah, blah, blah. You have a couple more days to go. Be ready. And Claudia, in her heart, was saying, is there anybody here that could pray a prayer of faith for me? Because where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Is there anybody here that could tap on covenant that I could agree on? And she was shouting this inside her body. Hoses and life-supporting instruments are attached to her. And she was crying inside her. Could there be anybody that could agree with me that I'm going to make it? And little Daniel came. In Eric's life, little Potpot came. And Potpot, little Daniel, was in that side of the bed. And Potpot and little Daniel was crying. He said, Lord Jesus, I know you could help my mom. I want to walk with my mom in the park. I want my mom to teach me things. Bless mama, Lord. Get mama out of this bed. And Claudia in her spirit was saying, yes, Lord, I agree with that. I agree with that. Let it happen, Lord. And Potpot's uncle and aunt came also by the bedside and said, Lord Jesus, we cover Claudia here. We know it's impossible in the eyes of the pastors, of the doctors, and whoever is saying these words. But Lord, you could do things, Lord God, that man could not do. And Claudia inside of her felt that strength and said, yes, Lord. And then her kidneys started to work fine. And then her lungs started to work fine. And from that bed to standing up, to recovery. And she said, you know, Chaplain Fortune, I just needed somebody to agree with me in covenant with God, that God could do something for me in this situation. God could do something for you. God could do something for me. Amen? He is the King of kings and the Lord of glory. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within you. You are in covenant. I am in covenant. You're covered by the blood. And I am covered by the blood. Now the enemy has been attacking me, brothers and sisters. He has been attacking our elders. He's been attacking this church. Because he knows what's going on, that he is threatened by the covenant that we are in and the glory that is about to, from increasing glory, from glory to glory. He is threatened by that in these last days. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that testimony. He doesn't want my testimony. We need to pray for one another. We need to love one another. We need to forgive one another. Even in the household, some people Some children want more salt. Some people less salt. More oil, less oil. You know, we even have our likes and dislikes inside the household. In the household of the Lord also, we have our differences. But one thing that is similar to each and every one of us is that we are in covenant. And the greatest creator, the King of Kings, has placed us in that covenant. And we are one in His eyes. We are one in His eyes. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise God. Yes, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us in this covenant. As I would go to prayer, if you feel like standing up, praising God, or whatever you would like, I would like to invite you in this prayer time that we will be having to appreciate God for what He is and who He is in bringing us in this covenant. Amen? We are not in Mount Sinai no more. We are in Mount Zion, where there is rejoicing and praise and peace and freedom. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's how our Abba Father looks at each and every one of us. Even in our shortcomings, He looks at us in the new covenant's eye of being accepted, pleasing before Him. Let us go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for what You have done for us. Lord, You know our misery. We are all tainted up by sin. And it was necessary to lift up the Mosaic covenant that we may have a mirror to see that all of us have fallen short of Your glory. But the good news is You did not left us, Lord, in that misery. But You have brought us into a new covenant through the blood of Your Son, the precious blood of Your Son, echoing, O Lord God, the need that we have. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions for sin. There is no forgiveness of sin. The taking away of the sin would not happen unless the blood flows. And so through Your Son, O Lord, we believe we are sealed, we are saved forever, and we belong to that crowd where there is rejoicing and praise, Lord, of thousands upon thousands of angels, O Lord, because of what You have done for us. Lord, if there is anybody, Lord God, in the hearing of my voice that doubts their covenant, O Lord God, with You, Your covenant with them, O Lord God, in redeeming them from their sins, their past sins, I pray, Father God, set them free. Lord God, bless them, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. This is the prayer of Your people, Lord. We want to be close to You, with You, to walk with You, to be tied up, tangled up with You in these last days. Thank You, You would not let us go. We love You, Lord, and we bless You, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.